Let us turn to Scripture, and we're first going to read from Psalm 45. We'll be reading verses 1 and 2, and then 6 through 9. May we listen, as Catherine said. May we listen and listen well to God's word. Our heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your royal scepter is a scepter of equity. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness upon your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Let us continue to listen as we hear the words from James in chapter 1. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. For be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think that they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this heavenly food, that we may be nourished today, that we may hear today in the ways of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, we pray. Amen. The letter of James is it's way in the back of the New Testament. It is before Revelation. And it's short. It's only 5 chapters. But there's some pretty powerful words. It is said among scholars that this book was written by either James, the brother of Jesus, or by someone later and using the name of James. The latter is more likely, but we do not know. What we do know about James is that James was, he was a Hebrew, he was a Jew, and he really paid attention to the law. So for him, as a part of the family of Christ, he was the one that is speaking in this letter to Jewish Christians. James was a Christian, but his message was to the Jews who had accepted Christ and were living as Christian. So just a little bit about that. We're going to talk about keeping a tight rein on our tongue and being quick to listen. Let me start out with a couple of quick jokes that demonstrate how not to keep a tight rein on our tongues. So there was a man who was in the hospital for some procedures, and he had anesthesia, and he was waking up, and his wife was there. And his eyes fluttered open, and he looked at her, and he said, "You're beautiful." And she smiled, and he drifted off back to sleep. A moment later, he woke up and he said, "You're cute." And his wife said, "Well, what happened to beautiful?" And he said, "The anesthesia's wearing off." What not to say. Let me do another one. So a husband and wife are going to sleep one night. And the wife is standing in front of this full-length mirror looking at herself. And she says, "You know, when I look in the mirror, I see an old woman with wrinkles." And then she asked her husband, "What do you see? What do you think?" And he said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight." What not to say. So, James is very clear. He is very clear, as Catherine so well put. We are to be slow to speak, and we are to keep a careful eye on evil and harmful words that can come out of those tongues of ours. I don't know about your mother, but my mother said to me, "If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all." Anybody ever hear that from their mother? Right? We've heard it said, "Think before you speak." Or once it comes out of our mouths, it cannot come back. James is reminding us that words can do great harm. You know the old saying that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We all know that words said in anger and malice can sometimes hurt for a lifetime. For a lifetime. And then James tells us to be quick to listen. And here's another couple's joke. The husband says, "My wife says I don't listen to her." Or at least that's what I think she's saying. Now, how many husbands here, and I guess also in the radio audience, you may want to be raising your hand. How many husbands here say, have heard those words, "You don't listen to me"? Yeah. So listening is something that James talks very diligently about. I found some quotes. Here's one, author unknown: "Men who know little say much, and men who know much say little." And here's one from Paul Tillich: "The first duty of love is to listen." And Ernest Hemingway: "When people talk, listen completely. Most people never listen." And then from Henry David Thoreau: "The greatest compliment that was ever paid to me was when one asked what I thought and attended to my answer." Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I do the opposite of what James is saying. Sometimes I don't listen. Sometimes I speak when I should keep my mouth shut. Maybe you're like that sometimes also. You see, when we are quick to speak and slow to listen, hear this quote from Josh Billings, who was a 19th century humorist, and he said, "The best time to hold your tongue is when you feel you must say something or bust." And listen. Do not have an opinion while you listen, because frankly, your opinion doesn't hold much water outside of your universe. Just listen. Listen until their brain has been twisted like a dripping towel, and what they have to say is all over the floor. That's from Hugh Elliott. I'll have to tell you that as a counselor, sometimes I have to make sure I don't speak and not, I don't want to interrupt. Because sometimes what has to be said has to come out. And it has to go all over the floor. And we have to wait. Now, speaking of listening, have you ever been in one of those 2 to 3 hour church meetings? Anybody? Been in one of those 2 to 3 hour church meetings when there's a lot of talking and not enough listening? The truth is that those kinds of meetings require a lot of excellent listening and a great amount of tongue checking. Some of us had a friend to die on Friday. His name is Charles Jenkins. Charles was a person that listened and waited. And when he spoke carefully. And he always made sure that what he said was about the person he was talking to. Charles is a great example of listening and checking the tone. But James has a more important message for us to hear. You still with me? Back row, you still with me? I love the people on the back row. So I'm going to turn back to Scripture, so you may have your paper there. Let's turn back to verses 22 and 25. 22, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. 25, for those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be a blessing in their doing. James is saying, listen and do. Do as the word says, as Christ says. And finally, I want you to consider this. James says, listen to God's word, which means we need to listen to God, and we must remember in our listening who we belong to. We belong to God. We don't belong to our spouse. We don't belong to our parents or our family or our church family. Even this country or this earth. We are children of God. We belong to God. Let me say that more simply, because I need simple words sometimes. We are His. We are His. And if we say that we belong to God, if we are His, we must listen. And we must listen with our whole being, not only with our mind, but with our heart and our body. Our very soul, we must listen. So I'm going to close with the challenging part of this, or at least it's challenging for me. We'll see if it's challenging for you. What is it that God has been trying to get you to hear for years and you won't listen, or I won't listen? For years, we've had that nagging and tugging and pulling thought and feeling that just won't go away.
but we don't listen.
What is God trying to tell you? Are you listening? And if we say we belong to Him, if we are His, we must listen. And friends, may those who have ears hear, and may they hear God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.